where Lauren Cunningham, the founder of YWAM, was there, and he was speaking. I had never heard him speak before. And it was almost kind of like I was in a incredible youth gathering, because there was all these young people there. And they were radical for Jesus. And I got to thinking, you know, is there any people in Palmyra that are radical for Jesus? You know, they're not afraid to praise him. They're not afraid to say that they love him. They're not afraid. They're not ashamed of anything, but they're just in love with Jesus. Do we got any people like that here today? Amen. Yeah. Who are just radical for Jesus. Who are willing to go to the edge. All right? Are there any people like that here today? Yeah. I don't know. I'm not really being convinced. You know? I mean, I'm talking about some radical people that aren't afraid. They don't care what people think. Yeah. Amen? But they just get so caught up into praising God that if whatever they're doing, it doesn't matter. They're just expressing their love to God. Amen? Do we got any people like that here today? Okay, yeah, you're getting warmer. You're getting warmer. The radical meter is rising. But no, we got a great group of people who love God. Amen? And you know, God is so great. He is so vast. He is so deep. He is so faithful. You're talking about the creator of the universe who can also have a personal relationship with an individual. God is not, even though he's so great, he's so vast, but he's so close. This great, wonderful God, this great, awesome God, he wants to be involved in your life. He comes to where we are, and he likes to hang out with people who love him. He likes to hang out with people who have faith in him. And there are some qualities and characteristics that just make God great. And it's his creation, it's his holiness, it's his goodness, it's his righteousness. And today we're going to talk about his character and his nature. And there are some components of God's character that make him great. So we're going to celebrate these great qualities and these great characteristics of God. You ready to celebrate with me today? Go with me to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. One of the things that makes God great is a word that you've probably heard called omnipotence. Amen? If you know what omnipotence means, raise your hand. I mean, omnipotence speaks of the power of God. It speaks of the might of God. It speaks of the strength of God. Our God is omnipotent. He has all-encompassing power. He is the Almighty. Say that with me. Say, he's the Almighty. That means he has all the strength, all the power, and he can do all things. Amen?
Amen.
And so he's omnipotent. And, you know, he expects every person on this planet to obey him. You mean God actually expects people to obey him? Yes, he does. You read his word. If you love me, you keep my commandments. Right? So he is the all-powerful Lord. He's created all things, and he sustains them by his word. Think about that. If God's word were to fail in one iota, in one dot on an I, or one cross on a T, this whole world would collapse. But aren't you glad that we have a God whose word cannot fail? Amen. His word is so strong and powerful that what he speaks into an existence, he can sustain that thing forever. There's no shortage in God. There's no lack in God. All right? And he is the Almighty God. And here in Genesis 17, verses 1, and he said to Abraham, he was having a discussion, and this is the first time that God revealed this particular piece of his character. God's got a lot of pieces. All right? He said to Abraham, and when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. That phrase, Almighty God, speaks of his omnipotence. He said, walk before me and be perfect. Or another word to say that is to be blameless. You know, if you try to be perfect, you'll never be there. But if you try to be excellent, you'll get there. How many of you know there's a difference between excellence and perfection? Right? You want to strive for excellence, not perfection. And anytime the Bible uses the word perfect, it speaks of growth and maturity. And then he said, I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. One of the things that the omnipotence of God does is it multiplies things. Now, you got to understand, Abraham was at this time in his life, he was in the midst of his struggle. He had been believing God for a son, for a family, and for 25 years, he held on to God's promise, and there were some times when he faltered, there were some times when he began to doubt, and God would remind him of what he said, and it's at this point in life, when Abraham was in his darkest struggle, that God appears to him and said, I am Almighty God. I am all-powerful God. I am the God who can make things happen in your life. I'm the God that can bring life to the dead. He tells this to Abraham. I am Almighty God. This name is really El Shaddai. God is El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. Right? He's El Shaddai. He's the all-powerful, almighty God. He's the mighty-breasted one. He's the one that can multiply exceedingly. He made the heavens and the earth. He's all-powerful. He can do anything that he wants. He is the El Shaddai God. Go with me to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Let's look at verses 11 through 13. This is a good description of his omnipotence. Who is like unto you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness? Fearful in praises, doing wonders. How many gods do you know that do wonders? Huh? What wonder did Muhammad do? What wonder did Buddha do? What wonder did any other religious person, religious leader do? It's our God. It's the great God, Jehovah. It's the Lord of hosts. It's the captain of the army. It's the creator of all things. He's the one that does wonders. And you can know God. You can know the Almighty God. You can experience his omnipotence, his power. Anybody here ever been touched by the power of God? You stretch out your right hand, and the earth swallowed them. Better be careful when God moves his hand. Amen. In your mercy, you have led them forth, the people which you have redeemed. You guided them in your strength unto your holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold of the inhabitants of Palestine. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away, because Israel had an almighty God on their side. Because Israel had an almighty God, they were able to escape Egypt. They had been held in Egypt for 400 years. And for 400 years, they were slaves to Egypt. And when God heard their cry, and he sent them a Moses, he sent them a deliverer, he showed them his power, he showed them his strength, and he brought them out with a mighty hand. Our God is mighty. Is there anything that you need to be brought out today? God can do it. God can bring you out. God can bring you out of depression. God can bring you out of poverty. God can bring you out of obscurity. You may wonder if God knows your name. Let me tell you something. He knows your name. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly how to speak to you. Why? He's Almighty God. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Hallelujah. It's okay to get excited today. I mean, after all, we're celebrating the greatness of God. If you can't get excited about that, amen? We serve a good God. And we are beneficiaries of this power. God wants to pour his power on you because he loves you. God is just, he just is head over heels in love with you. Matthew 6:13 says, his is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You will never experience a blackout in heaven. There is no such thing as a power shortage in heaven. Amen? God's got enough power for the big things in your life. He's got enough power for the little things in your life. How many say, God's got me covered? Look at someone close to you and say, God's got you covered. He's got you covered. His is the power. Matthew 19:26. With God, how many things are possible? Let's say that. Say, with God, all things are possible. That means there's no situation that you can face in life that God can't change or that God can't work into your favor. God is the God of turnarounds. He brought Joseph from the pit, out of the prison, and into the palace. He brought Daniel from the lion's den into one of the highest positions in a nation. God can do it. Do you believe he can do it? Amen. Do you believe he can do it for you? Amen. You know, there was a man who came to Jesus and he had a withered hand. I always get that mixed up with the leper, so if I get my facts straight, you can straighten me out, all right? And he came to Jesus. He said, I believe that you can. But he said, will you do it for me? He didn't have any doubt in God's power, but what he doubted was, would God operate his power for me? You know, sometimes people think that because of what they've done, that they're disqualified from God operating in your life. Let me tell you something. Paul was a murderer, and he came to be an apostle. Jacob was a liar and a deceiver, and he became to be a prince of God. So say this with me. Say, yes, God'll do it for me. I want you to take ownership of that. So that nothing you face in life, God can't handle. But you got to trust him. I mean, you know, obviously, if you just think it's all up to God, then you'll be wanting and waiting all the time. It's not all up to God. I mean, God has his part, but you have your part too. If you want the power of God activated in your life, it's going to have to be, the switch is faith. Faith is what gets the power of God from him to you. Amen? How many know that Jesus had the power to heal hemorrhaging? But the woman who was hemorrhaging for 12 years, how did she get access to the power? It was through her faith. Jesus had the power. The power was oozing out of him. He was the omnipotent God walking in a flesh body. And he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. And he was walking, and everywhere he went, that anointing went with him. The power went with him. But only the people that had faith in him were able to access that power that was there. So access the power of God today. Amen? I'm awestruck. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and let's look at verse 20. Now, it's okay to get excited over this verse. I mean, you should get excited over this verse. You know, we serve a God who always does more. Did you know that we have a too much God? You know, God knew exactly how much land could hold the sheep of Abraham and Lot, but they just had too many sheep. They had so many sheep that the land couldn't support them both. Well, didn't God know how much sheep could handle, how much sheep the land could handle? You know, David had a cup, but when he let the Lord pour in his cup, he said, "My cup runs over." Doesn't God know how much can fit in that cup? Why does he keep pouring until it runs over? Because that's the kind of God he is. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now, you ought to get excited about now, because that's not tomorrow, that's not next week, that's right now. This very moment. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that what? It works in us. God's omnipotent power is at work right now in us. Right now. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above. That's over the top. That's more than enough. That's another name for El Shaddai. He's more than enough God. He's an over the top God. He's a too much God. He's the omnipotent God. He's the all powerful God. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, without end. How many want to live in a world without end? If you know Jesus, then you're living in a world without end. Because even though this world will cease to exist, the world that's in Christ Jesus will never end. It's everlasting. Woo, it's forever. I'm telling you, Jesus was a radical. He is the Almighty God. He is able to do everything that is in harmony with his will and with his nature. Then the second thing that God is that makes him great, he's omnipresent. What does that mean? He's here, he's there. He's in the back, he's in the front. He's upstairs, he's over there, he's in China, he's in Africa, he's in Europe, he's in Australia, he's everywhere. Our God is not limited to time and space. God is a spirit, and he can be everywhere at any moment, at any time. Now, I got good news for you. The devil is not omnipresent. The devil can only be in one place at one time. If he's over there, he's not here. Amen? The minute the devil possessed Judas, he was there. He couldn't be anywhere else because he's not omnipresent. He cannot exceed time and space. Amen? He is limited where our God is unlimited. This omnipresence is the unlimited nature of God. It's his ability to be everywhere at all times. He's with you in your darkest hour. He's with you at your greatest victory. He's with you when no one else is with you. When you feel alone, when you feel by yourself, you're not by yourself. Because you plus God makes a majority. And when one person can hook up with God, you can do great things. Amen? So he is the Lord who is everywhere. Now, he's not manifesting himself everywhere. He only manifests himself where people use their faith, because faith pleases God. When faith is flowing and faith is operating, then God is manifesting. Amen? And, you know, God does not control the evil in this world. If someone robs a bank, it wasn't God who led them to rob that bank. God's not in control of the bank robber. God's not in control of the violent person. They're operating by another spirit. Amen? But aren't you glad that no matter where you can go, God's there? Now, that means that you can't hide from God either. You can run, but you can't hide. Amen? God will find you. Go to Jeremiah chapter 23. I didn't envision myself delivering the message like this today, but this word radical just got stuck in my heart. And how many know that when you get excited about Jesus, you can't hide it. You might as well just go with it. Amen? When you get excited about Jesus, you might as well just let that excitement flow. Why? We have nothing to be ashamed about. Jeremiah 23:23. Am I a God at hand, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Can any hide himself in the secret places that I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth? Woo! God fills heaven and earth. He also fills your heart. God can fill your home. God can fill your pocketbook. God can fill your mind. Amen? God can fill your body with healing. Because God is omnipresent. He can be in more than one location at the same time. That's good news. Doesn't matter where you go on this planet, you can find God. Jesus told his disciples in John 8, well, he told the Pharisees, he said, before Abraham was, I am. They'd be like, huh? You're only 30 years old and you know Abraham? Yeah, because he can transcend time and space, amen? He was at the beginning, he'll be at the end, and he fills everything in between. Because our God is omnipresent. This is one thing that makes him great. That means wherever someone lost is, they can be found. Amen? And you know what? When you find someone who's lost, tell them about Jesus and bring them into the storehouse. This is the storehouse, right? This building is just like a place where they store grain, okay? And we still got some room. So why don't you go and tell someone about Jesus that doesn't know Jesus and bring them in, amen? Why? You got the omnipotent God. You got the omnipresent God. He'll go with you. He'll give you the words to say because he's omnipresent. That is awesome. He's before all things, and in him all things are held together. God is before all things. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Transcends time. Listen, if you discover that God was faithful to you last week, he's going to be faithful to you this week. And in the weeks to come, he's still going to be faithful because that's who he is. This is part of the nature of God. It's why we can celebrate his greatness. Hallelujah. God is not limited to, you know, he can move heaven and earth just to bless someone who believes in him. God will bring things to pass. You know, Nehemiah, at the time he was working for the king as a cupbearer. He would serve the king his drinks. And he had gotten a report about the walls of his city, Jerusalem, were broken down and it was burned. And this caused Nehemiah to be sad. And so he walked into work one day, he was bearing the king's cup, and he had this low countenance on his face. And the king said, what's going on, Nehemiah? You know, he didn't want to say anything because when you're serving the king, you got to look good. Amen. Not sad. King doesn't want no sad cupbearer. And he was a little reluctant, but at first he began to share with the king what God put on his heart. And little did Nehemiah know, because he had prayed to God, and God was beginning to put things in place. God was beginning to move heaven and earth for him to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. The king offered to protect him, and the king offered his lumber from his timbers, and the king began, and God began to move heaven and earth to Nehemiah so that he can go and do what God called him to do. And when they started building the walls, 52 days later, the walls were built, the walls were restored, things were repaired. How many know it doesn't take God a long time to repair things if you let him work? Amen. Say, I'm letting God work. You got to let him work. Jesus told John in Revelation, he said, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever. And I hold the keys of death, hell, and Hades. He is the first, he is the last. How can you be first and last at the same time? You can if you're God. Amen? You can if you're omnipresent. And there's another quality that speaks to the greatness of God, and that's his omniscience. There's nothing God does not know. He knows everything. He sees everything. He hears everything. God has superior knowledge and wisdom. He has the power to know all things. He knows your heart. We don't know what's in a person's heart, but God knows what's in a person's heart. He knows the thoughts you think. You know, when I was at Rhema, every once in a while, we'd see Brother Hagin walk the halls. And we knew that he stood in the, you know, he had the office of a prophet. So when you see Brother Hagin walking in the halls, you want to clear your mind of any bad thoughts. You're like, oh my goodness, there's Brother Hagin. Think good thoughts, think good thoughts. You know, because you thought maybe God would speak to him about what you're thinking or what's on your heart, amen? There's some things you didn't want revealed. But you know what? It's funny how when you're in the world and you encounter people and they swear, you know, every other word is a swear word, and then they find out you're a Christian, and they say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. You say, well, God heard you. It's not the one that you, I'm not the one you need to apologize to. God's listening to every word that you're saying. He knows what you're saying, and he knows why you're saying it. Amen? But it's his omniscience. You know, God doesn't need to consult with anybody about his decisions. You know, he doesn't have a committee of angels that when a problem arises in the earth, he doesn't say, Michael, Gabriel, come in here. Let's talk about this. Why did this happen? No, God knows. He knows the end before the beginning ever starts, because he is omniscient. He knows everything. Now, do you realize, I didn't realize this, but Lauren Cunningham said it, so I'm quoting him. He said, five of the major sciences were either founded or discovered by Bible-believing people. Now, when you think of, how many know George Washington Carver? He made some discoveries about a peanut. A little peanut. They come in a curvy shell. Sometimes there's two nuts in a shell. And because he connected with the all-knowing God, God began to show him revelation about a peanut. He came up with 100 uses of a peanut. How can you come up with 100 uses of a peanut unless you know the one who knows everything, who made the peanut? See, when you know the one who knows everything, he will show you things, he will tell you things, he will help you know things so that you can operate them, so that you can do them, so that you can bless this planet, amen? Why don't unbelieving nations invent a whole lot of things? You ever think about that? Why is it the nations who at one point in time believed God come up with the inventions? You ever think about that? Because they're tapping into the one who knows everything. Listen, yes, God knows everything, and he will reveal his knowledge to those who connect with him. So if you want to find out something about something, you can ask God and he'll show you. God was able to show Elisha every ambush that the king was going to put against Israel before he did it. The king would talk in his bedchamber, and he would tell his leaders, okay, we're going to be here. Now, everyone in that bedchamber was for the king, and they're set up in the ambush, but how many know, when you know the one who knows everything, nothing's a secret. Amen? And so he revealed it to his servant Elisha. Elisha would tell the king so that Israel wouldn't get ambushed. He said, don't go down there. There's going to be an ambush. And so the king would send spies, and he would go down there, and sure enough, there was an ambush. How did Jesus know that the man who the woman at the well of Samaria was living with was not her husband? Because the Holy Spirit revealed that to her. You know, there's a gift called the word of knowledge. And God will reveal already known facts so that he can help people. Through revelation, we can tap into what God knows. And you can know what God knows. Go with me to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Doesn't this get you excited? See, the thing about God is when you talk about these are qualities that can really benefit you. This is what God wants. God wants us to partake of these qualities. He wants us to share in these qualities. And, you know, he gives them to those who put their trust in him. How did Isaiah know that Jesus was going to be crucified? That he was going to be like a lamb before its shearers? Isaiah spoke that long before it ever occurred. How did that happen? Because God showed it to him. Because God needed someone to declare that in the earth. See, the reason God shows you things is for you to declare them or to do them in the earth. That's why he's showing you something. That's why he's giving you insight. He's not giving you insight to say, oh, look at me, I got insight from God. No, that's not why he gives it to you. He gives it to you to use so that his plan and purpose can be fulfilled in this earth. Psalm 33, verse 13. The Lord looks from heaven and beholds all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts alike. He considers all their works. Right now, God is looking from heaven on us, and he's considering our works. So what kind of works are you doing? Huh? You know, when you're working for God, it'll be known, but when you're working for the devil, it'll be exposed eventually. Amen? God will show, the boss of your life will come out when the pressure is applied. Amen? Let's go to Psalm 147. Psalm 147 and verse 5. I like this. You never want to read the Bible while eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Your pages might stick together. Psalm 147, verse 5. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Another translation says his understanding has no limit. Do you realize God understands every motive of mankind? He knows why people do what they do and why they don't do what they do. Now, we can fool people sometimes, but we can never fool God because he knows. Say, God knows. He does. He knows. All right? Go to Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah 46 and verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Isn't that awesome? He declares the end before the beginning. Long before Jesus ever got on that cross, he declared it. Because of his knowledge. Because he is all-knowing. There's nothing hidden from God's sight. Now you think, people think that they're hiding, but ultimately you're not hiding because nothing is hidden from God's sight. You can't keep secrets from God. Although God does say the secret things belong to me, there are some secrets that we will never find answers to now. All right? They may come later. But those, the things that God reveals, those are the things that belongs to us. All right? So you may have tried to figure something out of why something happened, and you're racking your brain as to why this happened. You may not figure it out right now. But, you know, sometimes you just got to trust God even though you don't understand it. You know, your trust in God is not based on what you understand. Your trust in God is based on his character, on who he is. Okay? So you can trust God. And you're supposed to trust him with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, correct? Go with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Y'all doing okay? And let's look at verse 20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. You know, sometimes there are actions that we take, and the thing that we're doing, our heart is saying on the inside of us, don't do it. Our heart is condemning us. Our conscience is talking to us. It's saying, don't do it. Don't go there. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. You know, when you do something and your heart condemns you, you've done something wrong. But God is greater than our heart because God knows everything. Say, God knows everything. He knows everything about you. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He's numbered each one. He knows why he created you. Because he created you. He created you with a purpose. There's not one person on this planet, there's not one person in this room that came about because you're a mistake. You are not a mistake. God created, God designed you, God brought you into this earth, God gave you life for a reason, for a purpose. He knows what your purpose is. And he wants to share that knowledge with you. He wants to teach you to do his will. But too many people aren't willing to be taught because they want to do their own thing. I want to do it my way. God said, okay, you do it your way. And when your way doesn't work, when your way doesn't produce the results, when your way leaves you miserable, then you might want to choose God's way. Listen, I've done things in my life my own way. Terrible results. When I try to do things my way, I always fall flat on my face. It doesn't work out. And when I do it my way, I can't blame God because it's my way. Well, you know, how awesome is it that you can have a conversation with the creator of the universe. He has an open door policy. You can come into his office anytime, any place, anywhere, any hour of the day. It doesn't matter. God's got an open door policy. You can come boldly before the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace when you need it. And what happens when you come before God? He's going to show you things. He's going to tell you things. He's going to teach you things. Things you didn't know. And when you learn something you don't know, then you can practice it. You can implement it. You know, our shower in our home is anointed because when Fiona gets in the shower, she comes out with revelation and understanding. She's like, you know, we'll be facing a problem. And I'll say, go take a shower. Because every time she comes out of the shower, she said, I know exactly what to do. God spoke to me in the shower. And I'm taking a shower saying, God, where are you in this shower? It just goes to show that, listen, she's a shower person, so God speaks her in the shower. Amen? My showers are short. And so, I mean, I guess I don't give enough time to God speak in the shower. No, God speaks to every one of us on an individual basis. And here's the thing. Don't get jealous on how God reveals to this person and think that you need to be like that person and have the same way that God speaks to you. No, you're different. God will speak to you for you. He knows exactly how to get a hold of you. He knows what you like. He knows what you don't like. You know, we ought to know that about, we ought to know what God likes. We ought to know what he doesn't like. You know the three things that God is interested in? In the Gospels, God is interested in the lost. He wants people who are lost to be found. He wants people who are lost to be born again. God's interested in Acts, he's interested in people getting filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues. And in the epistles, he's interested in you growing up spiritually. Those are the three things that God's interested in. And guess what? When we're interested in what he's interested in, you know, if you really want God to work with you, get interested in what he's interested in. Yeah. Amen? And start doing those things. And then God will work with you. And then go with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. There's another thing. It's kind of like a two-part thing that makes God great. And the Bible uses a word here in Ephesians 6:18. And it says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And often, I always wondered, what are these two immutable things that, first of all, what is immutable? Can anybody use immutable in a sentence? It means unchangeable. It means absolute. It means indisputable. It means undeniable. It means irreversible. It means permanent or final. Unalterable. So the two immutable things of God that make him great is, number one, God cannot lie. And number two, what God promised, he will make good on. Those are the two unchangeable things about God. God cannot lie. If God ever told a lie, if he ever told the slightest lie, like I said before, this universe would fall apart. Because this universe is held up with truth. There is an absolute truth. Don't let the world convince you any otherwise. The world is on a campaign to try to say that there's no absolute truth. There's many ways to God. No, there's absolute truth, and there's one way to God. The only way to God is through Jesus Christ. You can't get to God any other way. You've got to have a relationship with Jesus. So these two immutable things. God can't lie. Well, you know, if God could lie, you couldn't trust him. You can't trust a liar. Because when someone lies, they got to lie again to cover up the lie. And eventually they forget about the lies that they told, and then they're in a mess. How many trust people that lie? When someone lies to you, guess what? You've got to rebuild your trust because you broke the trust. And it takes some time to rebuild that, doesn't it? You know, Gabriel learned a hard lesson one time when he was younger. And, you know, he said a lie. And, you know, Fiona must have been in the shower that day or something. Fiona is she's a very discerning person. She's a lot more discerning than I am. And thank God, because I need that in my life. And, it's difficult to surprise her. And you certainly don't want to lie. Oh, my goodness, you don't want to lie? Well, Gabriel learned that lesson. And I forget what he did and ever, but he certainly learned from that. He got the fear of God about lying in him after that occurrence. And, you can ask him, he still remembers that, you know, but God cannot lie. As a matter of fact, God hates lying. And there's no such thing as a white lie. Listen, don't try to put a label on a lie that doesn't tell it what it is. A lie is a lie is a lie. If it's not the truth, it's a lie. Well, I don't want to hurt his feelings. It's a lie. Tell him the truth. And if you don't know how to tell him correctly, ask God and he'll season your words with grace. God will help you to speak to people. But God cannot lie. So God doesn't expect us to lie either. You read Proverbs 6, it's one of the things he hates. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of what? Truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And God's word is the truth. Say, God loves truth. He does love the truth. You know, because anybody that deceives, you're hooking up with the enemy. So God cannot lie. And what God promised, he will bring to pass. Every promise of God, all the promises of God are yes and amen. God promised to Abraham, he said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. At the time, Abraham was not a father. He had no children. He was 75 years old. And him and Sarah, God gave this promise. Did God lie? No. God spoke the truth. And since the truth is eternal, the truth has no expiration date. It didn't matter if it took 25 years to come to pass. God's word came to pass in Abraham's life. That's when he got to the point when he changed his name to Abraham. The Bible said he believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. God didn't lie. God spoke the truth. But here's the thing. When God speaks the truth, you've got to believe it. You've got to trust it. You've got to receive it. You've got to accept it in order for it to operate in your life. His promise was good. Go with me to Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. Go with me to verse 17. Notice it says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Listen, you wouldn't want to trust a book that a liar wrote. Right? Because when a liar speaks, you can't tell what's true or what's not true. I've made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God. Who did Abraham believe? Abraham believed in God. He put his faith and his trust in the character of who God is. He didn't... See, your faith has to be in God. Your faith can't be in his benefits. When you put your faith in God, you get the benefits. But don't put your faith in the benefits. Okay? You got to put your faith in the author, the originator, the creator of the benefits. Okay? He believed even God, who quickens the dead. That means he makes alive. He calls those things which be not as though they are. Who against hope believed in hope. When it didn't feel like believing, when it seemed impossible, he believed anyway. Say this with me. Say, I believe God.
I believe God.
It doesn't matter what your circumstances say, you believe God. All right? Your belief in God will change your circumstances. You got to keep believing. Well, I believed God yesterday. Well, what about today? Who said to stop believing? Okay? That he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. He obviously knew that what Jesus spoke, or what God spoke, was truth. Even though when God spoke that to him, he had no understanding of how that was going to happen. Because when God spoke this to Abraham, he was beyond the years. Sarah was beyond the years. It was physically impossible. But which is greater, your circumstances or God's word? God's word. Okay? So, he said, not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Notice, he didn't consider the natural limitations or the natural hindrances. You got to take your focus off the natural. If you look in your pocketbook and it's empty, look somewhere else. If you believe that God can provide, stop looking at the empty pocketbook and start looking at his provision. Get a picture of the goodness of God being good to you and focus on that. Let that fill your mind. Okay? So he didn't consider his body or Sarah's body. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God. He kept holding on to the promise. He kept speaking the promise. He kept looking to the promise. And there were times in his life when God had to remind him of what the promise was, because there were times when he forgot about what God said. Like some of us. We forget what God's spoken to us. And when you forget what he said, you lose your focus. You got to constantly remind yourself what God said. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham was fully persuaded that what God promised, he was fully persuaded that he spoke the truth. And he was fully persuaded that what God promised, it could not go any other way. Abraham had faith in the immutability of God. These two qualities and these two characteristics caused Abraham to to have a child when it was impossible. And that's how he got to know him as Almighty God. That's how he got to understand God is El Shaddai. Is God El Shaddai to you today? Or are you overwhelmed with the circumstances of life? Are you asking yourself, how come this hasn't changed? How come this hasn't changed? You're asking the wrong question. Say, Lord, I thank you for changing this. I thank you for changing this. Every time that Abraham spoke his name, faith rose in his heart. Every time he said Abraham, his faith was strengthened, his faith was declared, and God had no choice but to do what he promised. Because Abraham believed the promise. Do you believe what God promised you today? Do you believe that your circumstance can change? It can, because we serve an Almighty God who's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. He cannot lie, and what he promised will always come to pass. Amen? That's the kind of God that you and I serve. And God loves you. And let me tell you something. God doesn't say things to dangle a carrot in front of you. You know, you dangle a carrot in front of a horse when you want to, or a, you know, when you want them to go or do something. Here's a carrot. They're chasing after the carrot. God doesn't do that to you. That's not his nature. God will say, here's a carrot, and he'll give it to you. He won't dangle it in front of you. He'll give it to you. And you can eat the carrot or not. You can choose to believe him or not. You can choose to accept what he said or not. But God's word is true. Nothing that you'll ever do will ever change God's word. Nothing that happens in the world can change God's word. Nothing that our government says can change God's word. I don't care how many laws are passed that says a man can marry a man. It does not change God's word. So when they start talking about that, you start talking about what God said. Amen? I believe God can turn some situations around today. And he just needs a point of contact. He just needs a point where you can release your faith today. And if you're here today and you need some things turned around in your life, then you're in the right place at the right time. Today's your day, because we serve an omnipotent God, an omniscient God, an omnipresent God, a God who cannot lie, and a God who's always good on his promises. And God will love it if you give him permission to operate in your situation. You ever find that out? God won't operate in your situation unless you give him permission. God, anything from God is not automatic. I heard one preacher say there's 330 ifs in the Bible. If you do this, he'll do this. If. Right? So if you need a situation change in your life today, it doesn't matter if it's physical, doesn't matter if it's emotional, doesn't matter if it's family related, God can change your situation. I don't need to know what the situation is, but I know that God can change it. I know that God can restore it, God can heal it, God can fill it, God can change it. Amen? Do we have anybody here today that needs something changed in your life? I would love the opportunity to pray for you and to release the anointing of God, because our God is good. We're celebrating the greatness. Why don't you stand to your feet? And I know sometimes it's not easy coming forward, because you have thoughts like saying, what are people going to think? Well, people are going to think what they're going to think no matter what. Amen? But one thing, they don't know what's going on in your heart. But you're just coming up to receive God's touch for your situation. Amen? You're coming up to seal the deal. So if that's you, I want you to make your way up front right now, and we're going to pray for you, and God's going to do his thing. Amen. God is faithful. God wants you to know that he is your faithful Father. And God wants you to know that he loves you with an everlasting love. And he is kind, he is gracious, and he is good. And God's about to restore some things to you that were lost. And don't look to the past. Don't focus on the past. But focus on God. Focus on the goodness of God. And right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would begin to restore things and turn things around right now. You're the right now God. And he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. And you just sit back and you watch God work. He'll provide. He'll make a way. He'll do what needs to be done. He will move heaven and earth. You believe that? Say, I believe it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we release your anointing right now. Lord, let her experience the almighty power of God, which is able to do exceeding abundantly above. Those are three words that God wants you to know intimately. Exceeding abundantly above. Yeah, he's going to bring you over the top. Oh, in the name of Jesus, he's not only going to make up the difference, he's going to exceed and cause you to excel and to go beyond the normal mark. So be blessed today as the Lord is at work in the name of Jesus, and he gives you his power and his grace. You're covered right now in Jesus' name. Yes, God can, and yes, God will do it for you right now in Jesus' name. It is done. It is done in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you that your power is at work right now. Ooh, there it is. In Jesus' name. You have need of patience. Through faith and patience, you inherit the promises of God. Through faith and patience, the promises become a reality. Don't get impatient. Don't look at the time that has passed, but look to God Almighty. Look to the eternal. Take your eyes off the temporal and look to what's beyond. See what's beyond seeing and hear what's beyond hearing with your natural ears. And hear the Spirit of God and let him be your guiding light. Let him illuminate you and give you the strategy that you need in the name of Jesus. In other words, God is telling you just to rest in him. Just to rest, knowing that he will hold you up. He will sustain you on the necessary and will carry you. So set yourself in a position to rest in the name of Jesus. And you rest, and he'll bring out the best in Jesus' name. Father, I give you thanks and praise that you're working mightily in this situation. Your omnipotent power is being released on her, Father. You're filling her with the Holy Spirit and with fire in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I give you thanks and praise for a fresh anointing to come upon her, to invigorate her with strength and boldness in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, you got to be willing to press into some things in greater ways. The more you press in, the more God will fill you, and the more doors that God will open for you. But press in, says the Lord. Press in, and you'll find the goodness of God. Press in. And if you knock on the door, he'll open it. That's what he promises to do. If you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you'll find. He promises to do that for you because he loves you. And there is no one higher than our God. There is no one greater than you. Lord, I thank you for turning this situation around. Lord, he gives it to you completely.